الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So I hope everyone has their game plan ready for Ramadan, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach it, inshallah, and bless us in these last few days of Sha'ban. So, I would think that everyone knows the rulings about Ramadan, fast, from Fajr al-Thani ila Ghurub al-Shamsi, from the second dawn, which is Imsak, until the setting of the sun, abstaining from eating, drinking, and jima', or sexual relations. So, and I should mention, one of the main things some might forget is that if one happens to do any one of these things forgetfully, to keep in mind that it doesn't break the fast. We continue, inshallah ta'ala. And there's no kafara. It doesn't invalidate the fast if we do any of those things forgetfully. You just continue on out of the bounty and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I wanted to focus on, and by the way, this is whenever I say fiqh rulings, keep in mind they're from the Hanafi position. For instance, it's okay to even do blood transfusions, ihtajama, or cupping, or to get an IV. All those things would be okay in fasting. It doesn't break it. Applying kuhul. So all of that is all right. Of course, under sexual relations, what I wanted to actually talk about is the Eid fast. So the ulama, they say you can have surat al-sa'im, the outward showing that this person is fasting, but we want to attain the sirat al-sa'im, the inward annihilation into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we abstain from everything, in other words, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at the beginning level, of course, Surah Al-Sa'im is fine. That's how we all started. Start to fast with this, just remembering these basic prohibitions during these times, and that takes care of the fasting. But then at some point, you want to move on to, and this is why we prepare couple of months ahead of time. Starting Rajab, we should be anticipating and preparing for Ramadan al-Kareem, inshallah, so that we get this Sirat al-Sa'im, or the way of a real fasting person, the fruits and benefits of it, inshallah ta'ala. So one of the routes to do that is regarding our speech. So I was going to say, by using this example, we know that eating, drinking, and jima', or sexual relations, are prohibited during these hours of our fasts. But it would include what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam termed nikah al-yadi, which is, I just wanted to point that out, because we're going to talk about speech, and look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam phrases, the phraseology he uses, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for marriage of the hand, if you know what I mean. So that's haram, obviously, but just to look at his word, how he worded that. By the way, actually, so it's haram in every sense, except in the Hanafi position. I believe it was Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, who, it's not fatwa position, but he did allow it in very, very dire circumstances. I'm not talking about during a fast, I'm talking about regular in a normal day. So it is haram, nikah al-yadi, but you'd have to ask Mufti, because there are exceptional cases for that. Anyway, so basically, we want to talk about having this elite fast, and it is derived from guarding our tongue, which is something we must talk about all the time because we know so many indicators that this is what gets most of us into trouble in the dunya and continuing, وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ, it would, the repercussions extend eternally. This is why we have to work and remember this and keep it in mind. Now, one way to look at it is if we talk about qawl, you know, speech, we would have no teachings of deen if we didn't have qawl. We have qawlullah, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an al-Kazim, and we have qawlur rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have his sayings. So what this indicates to us, and if we look at, and then we have the recordings of the Sahaba, the recordings of the Tabi'een, the Tabi' Tabi'een, and so on. And then up to even nowadays, you know, we have ulama that continue to write. These are their sayings. But when we talk about our time, what we're talking about, an alim sitting down and writing, that's an entirely different realm. You know, it's obviously a bountiful thing that we have the recordings of the ulama, and they strive and sacrifice their lives in order to do that because they just want to pass on the knowledge and the inspirations that were given to them. So, you know, that's so they share it, and it's not kept to themselves. But what we need to, it's a basic understanding of Islam that all of our deen is based on qawl. So the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now looking at the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we get all of the details of our deen from, the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How so? Because he explained to us every ayah as it was coming, every commandment as it came, how to pray, as we know, all of that is in his speech, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the general commandments and prohibitions are in the Qur'an, but all of the detail is in the prophetic speech. So, and the thing we need to keep in mind with that, with the speech of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not akin to what we're talking about, and even when we talk about the speech of the Sahaba, the speech of the Tabi'een, and the Tabi' Tabi'een, all of those speech, when we say speech, it's in their daily mu'amalat, in their relations with people. That is the speech that we have recorded. So it's not this thing, which alhamdulillah we have now. We have ulama that write down, okay, all of the their knowledge and the rays of openings that they received, and they write it down for us, sit down and write it down for us. But when we're talking about all these speech that we use to implement the deen, we're talking about things that happened in daily life and interactions with people. So it's a basic fundamental understanding of the deen, but when you juxtapose it with this, what I'm getting at is how many of our recorded speech, because we know they're recorded by Raqib and Atid, the angels on our right and left shoulders who are recording everything down that we say. So all of that, of the speech that we engage in throughout the day or even put online, how much of that, if it were put into a book, would be beneficial for people? That's what we need to do in terms of muraqabah, assessing ourselves where we are in order to attain this elite fast. We must. There's no way to attain the elite fast, in other words, without having this assessment of our speech. Because the foundational level of fasting are these prohibitions. But and this elite level, it means you continue it all throughout Ramadan, even when we're allowed to break fast with food and drink and sexual relations after Maghrib, at Maghrib, but with our speech, it should continue because all of the day is practice, what we're doing in terms of curtailing our speech for all of Ramadan, and ultimately it's training for the rest of the year and all of our lives. So it should continue to get better and better, this refining our speech. And this is why we can gain so much from the recordings up to the Tabi'een and so on, who were recording just daily living matters, what happened, the engagements, the occurrences between people, what they said. Basically, it was all prose or poetic, everything they said. And that's why we could benefit so much, and they could be made into books. So, and I speak to myself first, let's work on that. Because when we compare ourselves at that level, how much of our speech could be put into books, and would it be beneficial for people? So this is what we want to keep in mind. And the other thing to get to attain, and we know that in Ramadan, futtihat abwab al-jannah, the doors are already open. So we just have to do these basics. But again, to attain the higher level reward, then we want to guard the speech. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he said that ma lam yada qawla zur. It doesn't, if one doesn't leave this crooked speech, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for the person's fast. What is the point of fasting if we're not correcting and furthermore beautifying our speech? So the other angle also that we want to look at besides speech is to keep in mind also that we give much of sadaqah, zakat as well, the obligatory charity, and then the voluntary charity, sadaqah. But in these realms, we need to keep in mind that we're the ones given a favor. So we should never give and thinking at the same time that we're either superior, wali'adhu billah, than the person we're giving to, nor should we expect gratitude from the person. We want the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With sadaqah, we don't expect anything. It was the custom of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, when she would give sadaqah, she would make dua for the person. Normally now, we should not ask for dua. Maybe sometimes we do that, but when we give sadaqah, you should not ask for dua. It's, you know, obviously the person generally will do it. But the custom of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she would make dua for the person she was giving charity to. And when asked why, she said that she didn't want to attain anything from that person. This was an act utterly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She didn't want, so she would, this is how she handled that. She herself would make dua for that person so that she chokes her nafs, in other words. She chokes her nafs by not expecting anything from that person. In fact, she's going to give them a dua. This is the level, the caliber of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is why on her deathbed, I believe it was Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahaba, who wanted to come and visit her when she was on her deathbed radiallahu anha. But she wouldn't. She had given indication that she didn't want him to enter, so don't allow him to enter. The Sahaba, they didn't know what to do, because sure enough, he showed up, wanted to give some words to her, but they didn't know what to do. They didn't want to disobey her, but they didn't want to not let him in. So they finally.